Okay, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I saw this Gemara, I got super excited. Because I knew something incredibly weird, or incredibly exciting, was going to come out of Rav Hanan bar Rava. Based on what in the Masechta Sukkah, the Gemara has spent the previous Amud telling us all about why a Sukkah over 20 Amos is possible. He gave us three good reasons. Same reason. You would have thought one of those reasons would suffice for all the Amaram you could possibly find. And yet, on Beis and Beis, in the midst of bringing various opinions, different Nesoros, in the name of Rav, first we have Rav Yoshia, then we have Rav Huna, brought in the name of Rav, telling us different details, which will limit the degree to which this is a psul, right? We've seen that Schach over 20 Amos is possible, according to the Chavah. Why? We have Rava, Leman Yedu. We have Rav Zera, Zeil Sukkah. And we have Rava, who says Dira Sarah. Then we have on the next page, right, on the next Amud, as we turn over, we see why each don't hold of each other. And we have these three different Mesoras in the name of Rav. First comes Rav Yoshia. It says, as long as the walls reach the Schach, the Chum would admit it's kosher. Then we have Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, as long as it's a really wide Sukkah beyond 4x4 Amos, it's kosher. And we have a third Mesora in the name of Rav. And that's Rav Hanan bar Rava. He tells us that Rav said, as long as a Sukkah is beyond 7 Tfachim by 7 Tfachim in its area, then it is a kosher Sukkah. And the Gemara, for each one of these statements, tries to align them with one of the three opinions we have in the previous Amud. We've got Rav Yoshia and Rav, they're married off, they're good, everything's nice and neat. We have Rav Zera aligning with Rav Huna, the second opinion brought in the name of Rav. Also nice and neat. And then along comes Rav Hanan, and he's left without somebody. Without anybody. I know you were all itching and hoping somehow he'd fit with Rava, right? That would have been just wonderful, right? All of our children would have been married off then. Would have had everything, would have been perfect, but it didn't work out. Nobody suggests Rava. Instead, what does the Gemara tell us about Rav Hanan bar Rava? It says, Kaman delo kechad. He's not like anybody. What does that mean? Rashi tells us, he explains. Sorry. Kaman delo kechad. In that very Moscow, Rashi tells us he doesn't fit with anyone. May Hanach Dila'el, the Farshi time into Esra Ma'ama. From any of the ones above, that had explained the reason for over 20 Amos. De'imi Shemishlach. Eina is not going to work out, and it's not going to work out because of Sel Schach. And also, Machitot Keva, you're also going to end up needing this Sukkah. So it doesn't align with any of them. Rashi offers us no reason. None. Later on the Amud, in a couple of places, but I'll focus on one in specific, Rashi alludes to this idea again. Rashi says, in terms of explaining, as the Gemara goes and tries to figure out whether perhaps Rav Hanan bar Rava and the earlier opinion of Rav Huna disagree over what the minimum size of a sukkah is, and then the Gemara says, no, that's not what they're arguing over. What exactly Rav Hanan bar Rava's reason is, we still don't know. But when the Gemara in that discussion ends up saying that, oh, maybe they're arguing over the minimum height, Rashi, in the Gemara's deflection, says, no, that's not true, and he says, perhaps, Otaim Acharina Lachshira. You know, maybe there's some reason why we would allow this, but Rashi doesn't tell us what it is. There's no known reason for Rav Hanan bar Rava. That's a pretty explicit. Rashi does another time as well. It's pretty clear that Rashi's not going to offer any reason. As intrigued as all of us might have been when we heard about this mysterious, perhaps fourth reason, Rashi's not our man. Rashi's not going to help us. And in fact, that's the majority opinion amongst the Rishonim. They don't try. They don't even bother. Tells us Rush says, yeah, some other reason we don't know. Ritva, Ra'ah, all say some reason we do not know. Now, in fact, the Gemara on Gimel and Aleph, at the very top of the Amud, has, in the midst of its question, of asking on Rav Zera and Rav Huna's opinion, and also on Rav Hanan bar Rava's, seemingly, the Gemara is caught in a trap, right? It doesn't know how to get out. It doesn't know how to explain the fact that Hilani Amalka is the subject of a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum, even though, ostensibly, she did not have a tiny sukkah. And the Gemara ends up answering for Reb Zera by saying that, no, don't worry, she had not a tiny sukkah. She had a very large sukkah, but inside the sukkah was small components, there were small compartments, and she was in one of them, and that's how it worked out with her seven kids. And Rashi has a kasha. Rashi says, I don't understand. How is this going to work out for Rav Hanan? Rav Hanan bar Rava. I understand, according to Rav Zeir, how we solve things. She's got a nice little dressing room for herself. 4 Amos by 4 Amos isn't that small. She had a private little area. And her son's could have been in there with her too. But Rashi says it doesn't make sense. According to Rav Hanan, how could it be that her sons were with her in this tiny little compartment? It just doesn't fit. There's no room for seven kids and a woman in an area that's about the size of your Gemara. Believe it or not, that we have one person fit in there. You know, that you just cramp in there, and your robe of your body, and your head, and your little table, your one tevach table, that's the size of your fist, guys, fits inside of your sukkah. We're talking tiny little box. There's eight people in that? No way. So Rashi tries one defense. He says, you know, maybe they were really angled in there really, really weirdly, like a bunch of monkeys. Okay, that's not going to work out. Rashi prefers to reject it and says, you're right. The Gemara has no answer for Hanan bar Rabba how this is going to work out. Tosos tries to figure out how it actually might still work out, according to Rav Hanan bar Rabba. As long as one of the dimensions was much longer, then there would be room. They're all sitting in their little seven-wide box of their sukkah. And then, let's say, 100 tefachim to the side, so then there would be room for all of them to fit there. So Tosos tries to answer that question of Rashi. But you know what the Ra'ah says? Something fascinating. The Ra'ah says, yeah, it doesn't work out for Rav Hanan bar Rabba. That's all right. We don't care about Rav Hanan bar Rabba. That was pretty clear from the previous element. Nobody cares about Rav Hanan bar Rabba. We don't bother trying to answer him. We don't even like ask the question on him. We don't even need to deal with him because he's just wrong. We don't know. Delokachad. We have no reason for him. And in fact, the Ritva on the previous element, when he's explaining Rav Hanan bar Rabba, when the Gemara says that we don't know his reason, he doesn't align with any of them, the Ritva tells us, come on, Azla Adam Rav Hanan, Chule, Ad, come on, Delokachad. Basically, it doesn't work out with any of the reasons. Vigarsino naliba de Rav Hanan umemre de lo kechad hani amoroi. De lo kechad de alma. Ritva throws in the language. He says, not only is Rav Hanan bar Rabba not like these amoram we listed on this previous Talmud, but he's not like anyone. Not like anyone in the whole wide world. Rav Hanan bar Rabba is wrong. He's not fitting with any other amora. He's standing alone. He's stuck. That's what the Ritva's opinion is. Now, I want to point out that Rashi didn't quite say that. Remember, Rashi had said that Rav Hanan bar Rabba, when he said Dilok Chad, may Hanach Dila El, to Mepar Shitaima. Rav Hanan bar Rabba is not like any of the three we listed above. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a reason. But the Ritva, you think, basically, you see, Ritva thinks that he had no reason, at least, that any other Amora out there would have agreed to. And the Ra'ah also says, yeah, we don't care about him because he's just wrong. That seems to be the majority opinion. And in fact, there seems to be a good basis to assume this way. The Gemara itself can't come up with a reason. Why would we think we can? So the majority camp amongst the Rishonim is that we don't know a reason for Rav Hanan. Who even knows if he knew a reason? However, there are some other Rishonim who have different understandings. How can we deal with this? The Gemara brings an Amora and says, we have no idea what he's smoking. We just don't know what he's thinking. We have no clue. What's pshat? So the Meiri has a brilliant take. The Meiri says the following. He says, just because Rav Hanan bar Rabba didn't fit with our assumptions doesn't mean that he doesn't have some pshat. Here's how the Meiri puts it. He says, our Gemara started off with three opinions. Rabba, Rav Zeira, and Rava. That was it. Then the Gemara moved forward and brought three statements in the name of Rav and tried to align each one of them to deal them out each to one of the opinions we just brought. Rav Yoshia, oh, that's easy. He's like Rabba. Rav Huna, what are we supposed to do with Rav Huna? Well, I guess he's like Rav Zeira. And that sort of boxed out Rav Hanan from making any sense. Because if you take Rav Huna's Metzias as being correct about Tzel Tzach, that if Rav Huna's Metzias about when it's wider than four is when there will be Tzach Tzel coming down, but under 4x4 won't have. So now Rav Hanan doesn't make any sense according to any other Moram. But let's pretend the previous half of the Amud. Chuck Beit HaMabez up until Rav Hanan. Then could Rav Hanan bar Rabba have made sense according to somebody? Yeah. He could have been like Rav Zeira. The Meiri thinks Rav Hanan bar Rabba is another version of Rabbi Zeira. How? The Gemara says he's low chad. He's not like anyone with the assumptions we are working with. Meaning to say that you need to have beyond 4x4 amos in order to have sale come from the stock. But he could have been like Rav Zeira. He fits in concept with Rav Zeira. He just argues in Metzias. He thinks that it's not beyond 4x4 amos that will generate sale from the tefach. But as long as you get beyond even a smaller size, even beyond 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, the Meiri says that will make it a valid sukkah according to Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Chanan bar Rabba fits with Rabbi Zeira. Now it gets a little bit dochik then, because does that mean that they're just arguing over Metzias? So you could always go the classic route and say, no, they're not arguing over Metzias. They're arguing over what tiny amount of sale counts as sale tefach. And you might think, come on, that's playing games. You're just telling me a difference in terms of the shear, I say you need to have 1% of sales stock, and then you need to say 2%, and that's what they're arguing over, really. They're not arguing over Metzias. But I'll tell you, in this particular instance, it's not such a dochek answer, because after all, Tosfos already has this idea that there's like a tiny drop of sale, according to Rav Zeira, which is necessary. But once you're dealing with a tiny drop, then you could easily argue over what counts as a tiny drop, which is at least a significant amount enough to be recognizable. Like, the smallest amount, or a little bit more. At what stage are you going to draw that line of what counts as significant? And, therefore, I think it's not as dochik as general. Then you could really just say they're arguing, not even see us, as much as they're arguing over what percentage of a tiny drop counts as enough sales stock. To highlight, unlike Rashi and the other Rishonim, who all say that there is zero understanding of Rav Chanan bar Rabba. We can't offer anything. The Meiri tries it. He says he's like Rav Zeira. And what does the Gemara mean? He's the Lokachad. He's not like any of the Amoraim as we currently have them, based off of the assumptions. One more point in the Meiri, and then I'm going to turn to Yosef. One more point I want to highlight. Guys, the Yerushalmi here is fascinating. It's very hard Yerushalmi, as many of them are. But the Yerushalmi on Aleph Amud Beis, as it goes in the Yerushalmi, has a whole long discussion also about what the reason is why Tzach over 20 Amos is possible. And do you know what the Yerushalmi has? There's only one Misorah brought in the name of Rav, by Rabbi Bo. One Amora brings a Misorah of Rav, not three. No Rabbi Yoshia. There is actually Rabbi Yoshia. But I think, if I remember correctly, I didn't bring my Yerushalmi. It might not have been in the name of Rav. I think it wasn't the name of Rav. I think it was Stam, just Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia is the same as we have here, with the walls going up. But not in the name of Rav, I think, if I remember correctly. You can check it up and confirm. But there is an opinion which mentions the wideness of the sukkah. There's no opinion mentioned beyond 4x4 amos. There is an opinion brought by Zion by Zion's Fachim. And that's the only opinion the Yerushalmi has brought in the name of Rav. So if you want some strength added to one of these three opinions, of these Amoraim, the Yerushalmi, at least, in terms of which was the true Masorah of Rav, aligns with Rav Chanan bar Rabba. And it takes it... I'm sorry? Now Rav Chanan's Rav Bo Amar Rav, though. It's the only one. Remember, these are all Masorahs of Rav. So in terms of how many Amoraim say this in the name of Rav, I've got two Amoraim saying this opinion now instead of the other one. They're each only one. And how to make out that Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi is itself interesting, what it's really saying in this opinion of Zion al-Zion. Without getting too complicated, I'll leave it as simply, it's the same thing as Rav Chanan, although that might not be so much. Yosef, go for it.
Could be that the Metzius argument is do you need a slight drop or do you need Shir HaKshir Sukkah?
What do you mean, a slight drop?
Of sunlight.
Oh, okay,
a slight drop versus Shir HaKshir Sukkah?
Well, let's assume that there's not really going to be a Shir HaKshir. What do you mean by a Shir HaKshir Sukkah? Like 7x7 Tefachim? You think that by Dalet Amos, by Dalet Amos, you'll have Zion by Zion Tefachim? I'm just not sure that will be true. I hear you.
The Bats don't get, what does it mean, like, a slight drop versus a drop?
Right, you're right. That would be a nicer way to quantify it. I'm just saying that in terms of Metzias Machlokas trying to be saved by making it into percentages, this one happens not to be so bad anyhow, because we might be dealing with only a minuscule amount, which is already getting a little bit, arbitrary. So here, they're just setting the line over here, as this is significant, versus he's setting the line a little bit further and saying, here's the idea. I want to turn, though, to the most interesting one, I'm sure the one you all want to talk about, and that is Tosfos. Tosfos says something. The only Rishon I found, who said that he gives some reason. Okay. The only reason, though, the next part is Hulking Arsina of the Gemara. No, it depends. That's a wrong read. They bold the wrong part. It's not in Ravenu Hananel's gears. Okay, Viter. So, the Tozos is the only, our print Tozos is the only reason I found who even attempted to give a real reason. The Miri, sort of like a fluffed out half a reason. Right? Tozos gives a reason. Tozos says something. He says, come on, you're leaving him in the dark. He wasn't a goat, he was able to think. He had a good reason. He had something. What do you think, we just misunderstood? No, he had a reason. But what was his reason? Tosa says, Yesh Mefarshim. He doesn't even quote this. Tosa isn't even willing to hang this on himself. He says, there are those that explain. What do they say? Mishum dehavale lul sheltana golem. It's a chicken coop. Cave into gviya v'ktina kulia. Once it's so tall and thin. Avol machzekes tvei mechtei rosho nafka miklal lul sheltana golem. Once it's able to hold more than your head, then that's already out of the general category of a lul sheltana golem. La kriya sukkah. And then it becomes called the sukkah. Tosu says the reason it's possible is a lul sheltana golem. Before I get into actually Tosu's, I want to mention the Sfas Emet. Guys, the Sfas Emet is going to blow your socks off. The Sfas Emet says the following. He asks a question. How come the Gemara said Minohan Emili on the previous Amud? From where do we know this? Why is it asking for a derisa source? It should have just said my time in Rabbanan. What's the reason why the Rabbanan say it's possible? How come they go Minohan Emili? Normally Minohan Emili goes and gives a source from the Torah, and you have both Amoram or both Tanam working through. Here it says Minohan Emili. The Sfas Emet wants to know, and the Sfas Emet says because here is Dafka looking for a derisa source. And in fact, he says, that's the reason it doesn't say Rav Hanan Bar Abba. He asks another question. Why, if Rav Hanan Bar Abba has got a fourth reason, why didn't it list Rabba, Rav Zeira, Rava, and Rav Hanan Bar Abba? How come it didn't bring him in the list? And it should have explained his reason. It's because his reason isn't like their reasons. Their reasons are all Daraisa reasons. His reasons only Dirabanan. The Sfas Emet says, according to Rav Hanan Bar Abba, he thinks the psuah of over 20 is only derabanan. A chiddush atzum. That's what he says. Now, why that might be, you know, I saw one achron out there too, who says that it's because of bizoyon mitzvah. It's so ridiculously bad looking that you have this type of sukkah and it's a bizoyon, and that's why it's possible midderabanan. I didn't like that at all because, whoa, because 7x7 plus a tiny drop and over 20 doesn't look ridiculous anymore. Hey, give me a break. It's ridiculous to say that. So that was one option I heard because of bizoyon mitzvah. Anyhow, he says it's only derabanan. But let's work in Tosos now. In the 5 minutes we have remaining, let's try to understand, what is Tosos telling us? What is a lul sheltana golem? What's he trying to say? So at first, before I had seen Tosos, I wanted to go and suggest the following idea myself. I thought, what was Rav Hanan Bar Abba thinking? I tried to use one of the three other opinions we had already. Rabba, 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 Zera. I wanted to use Rabba. Nobody had used Rabba yet to align it with the Gemara. I said, how can we make Rabba fit with Rav Hanan? Yet the Gemara didn't think it fit. So I thought perhaps you could say the following. If you use a different version of Rabba than the standard one, if you recall, Rashi and most Rishonim understand Rabba as saying it's impossible to build a building over 20 without strong supports, and therefore it's going to be Giras Kevel. However, there's another approach. The Tosfos, quoted by the Ritva, who says that the reason why it's Pasul, according to Rava, why is it Keva? It's because simply by being this tall, defines it as being a Keva type of building. Not because it requires strong supports, but simply because it's been put in this fashion, that makes it Keva. It's so large that its mere height defines it as Keva. I thought perhaps that was what was going on with Rav Hanan Bar Abba also. That since it's so strangely built, it's so large that by force you'd have to say it's Keva. And perhaps you could help explain that by saying whenever people would build a building this tall, this large, then that would mean that they would always do it for Keva purposes. But I chucked this answer of mine because still that wouldn't explain why it would be kosher then when you make it wider by 7x7. How would that explain anything? I had an approach, I had a way to defend it, but ultimately I don't think it's true. So, let's delve into Tosus' approach instead. Instead of trying to come up with a creative one that I was thinking, which I still think might be able to be, you know, sustainable, but just barely. So I'll leave it out of the Chabur for now. For the sake of time, let's search Tosus. What does Tosus mean? First of all, is that really a chicken coop? That, like, that's your go-to thing? Do chickens live? I tried Googling it. Chickens aren't known for having massive structures. You know, I found online you could buy a chicken coop if you want for five feet tall. Nice, they have a lot of area for your chickens if you want to buy it in, I don't know, Montana, whatever it is. So, there. It's not a thing. Chicken coops aren't particularly tall. What does this mean? That they're, oh yeah, I always build my chicken coops with 20 amos, like 40 feet tall, by a foot, and you like stack the chickens up in there. What is this talking about? Right, what does this mean, first of all? Second of all, what else is weird about this Tosus? Are these the only two categories? That's it. We have two types of buildings. One of them is a chicken coop. And it is 7x7 and 20 almost tall. And anything else that gets wider automatically is now defined as a sukkah. That's what those sounds like. No matter how wide you make it, no matter how tall you make it, go for it. There are chicken coops and there are sukkahs. What does that mean? What is Dosa's driving at? What is he trying to say? It's really quite strange. So I thought to compare it to Gemara and Bava Basra. The Mishnah in Bava Basra tells us the following. On Sadi Chasam and Beis, the Mishnah has a Mishnah. Gemara brings the Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. If you are selling a house, these few Parakim of Bava Basra have a lot to do with when you sell things. And like, what did you mean when you said you were going to sell this or that? So what does that exactly entail? So here we see it's a long-standing practice. Mir Tashem, when you guys get married, you should show your in-laws, your future in-laws, this Mishnah in Bava Basra, that the people used to go and buy their child a house. It's not just modern Haredim. They would buy their child a house. Oh, so if you buy a house for your son-in-law, or your father buys a house for you, when you get married, so when he told the contractor, I want to buy a house, how big must that house be? What's the minimum size? You know, what's the expectation of the house? So the Mishnah says as follows. If somebody wants to buy a house to build a house for his son-in-law, or for his sons, or for his daughter after she gets unfortunately widowed, so then bona arba amos al sheikh. You build it 4 amos by 6 amos. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says 4 amos by 6 amos. That's a house for your new son-in-law. Pastish. Can't go and do that. So what is it? Refes bakar hizu. He says that's ridiculous. That's for cattle to live in. That's such a small, bizarre home that doesn't count as a human dwelling. Rather, it is fit for animals. And instead, he says a larger shear. I thought perhaps he'd compare Tosos to that Mishnah. Tosos says, look, it's not like there's only two things, chicken coops and sukkahs. But there are diros, and there are things that are not diros. There are things that people live in, and there are things that people don't live in. And if you have something, which, yes, it's large enough, technically, for a person to live in. It's 7 tefachim exactly for you and your table. Can you move? No. Can you do anything in there? No. You can sit there and you can lick off the food off of your table like some sort of animal. You're going to live in this sort of thing? That is ridiculous. It's possible. Give me 1 second, which is because we're out of time. It's possible. That is not a sukkah if it's so tall. Now, you might ask, what does height have to do with anything then? If you're saying that this just isn't fit for humans to dwell in, then a question on Tosfos would be, well, so that should be true, that 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, which is impossible anyhow. Who cares how tall it is, right? I'm assuming that was your ass. That's a good question. Right? Why does the fact that it's 20 amos tall make it any different? Because then I believe the answer is you can distinguish. And say that clearly it's still meant as a dira because it's large enough for a person to dwell in. And it's not so strange in that now it's massively tall. And that would make us think that it has some other purpose. What I mean to say is the following. When something is just the bare minimum for a person, maybe that's okay, fine, whatever. So maybe you'd call it a dira if it was of a normal height and say that's a really small box somebody's going to live in. But once it has a massive height as well, these extremely peculiar dimensions indicate to us that this is no longer meant for a house. It must be, a storage area. Or maybe it's something which animals live in. Who knows? It's not fit for humans anymore, but it clearly has some other purpose. That's what the height's there for. And it loses its shame, dira. Now it is an otzer, for example. Maybe I would have said otzer, so it said loshes on a golden. But you can say it's something else. It's no longer a dira. However, once it gets beyond the bare minimum, now it's a comfortable dwelling. And the massive height no longer makes it peculiar, because now this is an area where you can actually live with a little bit of breathing space. And now it's a human dwelling, no matter how tall you make it. And however wide it is, you can make it super tall, it still is fit for human dwelling. And thus, in terms of the qualitative distinction between human dwelling versus not human dwelling, the idea is when it's so tiny, even though humans could live in it, it's just too bizarre when it's the bare minimum, is a qualitative binary distinction between livable, just barely, and something beyond the bare minimum. Once it gets beyond the bare minimum, it's saved and is always considered fit for humans. When it's the bare minimum or less, and it's very, very, very strange looking, it loses its shame, sukkah, as Tosfos would say, or as I would say, shame, dira. And I believe that's what Tosfos is really driving at. There's still a little bit more to hash out to make sure it fits, because this might not be the only way to understand Tosfos, but this is how I think it's the most correct way to understand Tosfos, and I hope you guys enjoy it.